Mr. Nice.
Hello.
Hiya.
See, some faces I know you. Some faces I don't know. I assume they're all in favor of legalizing cannabis.
Check.
Might have been taken some. Well, I have not a speech as such prepared, because as you probably realize when you just got here, I'm not sure what's been said. I've got a rough idea that, you know, the problems that multiple sclerosis sufferers are facing as a result of the prohibition has been discussed. I think Buster was talking, was he?
Yeah.
I heard the last bit of what you said, Alan. You know, first of all, actually, before talking anymore, I want to thank you all for being who you are, what you are, and where you are.
Thank you.
It's a long time since I've been in Norwich, and actually, it was in the days when it was just the CLCRA that Alan asked me if I'd be prepared to stand for Parliament. It was entirely Alan's idea, not mine, obviously. And doing it, of course, you know, I lost my deposit. It was a failure, in one sense, a complete failure. Mind, I think success would have probably encouraged me to behave rather irresponsibly. But I probably skinned up every day in the Houses of Parliament. Probably wouldn't have used it since. But it was at least, it achieved at least two purposes, generally, I think. One was, it drew attention to the issue, and as much attention can be drawn to the issue, the better. Because I do, for some reason, have this faith in human reason and logic that it will eventually prevail. Yeah. So, whatever is done to draw attention to the issue, to bring in publicity, which will encourage debate, which will provoke discussion, to my mind, it's always a good thing to do. And some of it can be a lot of fun, too. Yeah. Nothing against that, either. But it also gave, and I think this was very important in a way, the opportunity to force all the other candidates to state what they felt about cannabis and its prohibition. Were they likely to implement the abandonment prohibition? Were they likely to legalize? And without my standing, I suppose they would have never been asked that question publicly, in a sense, because I was accorded the same amount of media time, interview time, etc., as the other candidates. So at least the subject could be brought up, and it could all be discussed. I have no idea whether it had any effect. Now it seems to me that the ball is rolling, you know, much faster and much bigger than it ever has before. I've been thinking, I think, for about 35 years that legalization is just around the corner. I've been proved wrong for 35 years. But I still think it's just around the corner. And I don't know, I feel more reason now than ever before. I mean, I just wrote a few notes here which I'm going to skim at randomly, but my statement then reminds me of something. They did some surveys between 93 and 97, and this is only when it's going to be the one statistic I gave, I think. And that showed prevalences of cannabis use, regular cannabis use, not yet smoking joint plants, but regular cannabis use, from 53% in Oxford and Cambridge to 96% of readers of a particular dance magazine. So the time has come at last where we are beginning to be in the majority. Now, if this government is truly democratic, that'll be it. But maybe it's not, you know, sometimes I have my doubts. And I feel that, okay, one by one, we've got Paul Flynn, he's fallen us completely, okay? We've got Brian, MP for Bolton. forest completely. On a train the other day, I was on a train going to Cardiff, and this rather strange looking guy walked down the street, he was smoking a joint on the train. Smelled it, sat down opposite me, and said, "Is this a smoking compartment then?" He said, "Yeah." "Do you want one?" Offered him a pencil, I think it's cool. He said, "I know who you are." I said, "You have the advantage of me there. I'm sorry, I don't know you." He said, "I'm a member of Parliament." His name was Steve Pound, took out his card and gave it to him. He said, "You know, there's a lot of us who share your belief. A lot of us want to see cannabis legalized." Now, believe me, I wouldn't say that unless that conversation took place. Okay, to give his name. Okay. Now, he's one I didn't know, for example, you know, was for it. And I'm sure an awful lot of them are for it. It's extremely difficult for them to make their voices heard. Extremely difficult. And, of course, they're abandoning their careers, perhaps, in doing that. And they've got to feed their families like we all have to. I don't know. It's difficult going for them. But slowly but surely, they are coming out of the woodwork and speaking the truth. What a big thing to ask of the people who represent it. But it seems as if their conscience has got the better of them, and they are beginning to speak the truth. Now, when I stood last time in Norwich North and Norwich South, it was for something called the Legalist Cannabis Party. Now, to the best of my memory, which sometimes has its lapses, the Legalist Cannabis Party was only formed because you had to have a political party to fight the election. Out of that, we've got today something a lot more sophisticated than we had then. The Legalist Cannabis Alliance is a political party with a lot more clout than the Legalist Cannabis Party had, even though I think in some ways the former contributed. And I've often been asked to defend a single issue stance. Because not to have any policy on anything else can make one look a bit ridiculous. I mean, I thought of an immigration policy, and that is to deport Jack Straw, but health policies are fairly obvious. But it was difficult to go beyond that. And I've just come back from Israel, where a party called the Green Leaf Party actually succeeded in getting a member of parliament elected in the May 1999 election. If another person had been elected at the same time, under Israeli statutory definitions, there would have had to be a political party in power to make a party, okay, in Israel. Israel things happen very, very quickly. You know, they've gone through about 2,000 years in Turkey. Not for all their policies or against all their policies, but they move very quickly. They don't like to be bossed around. It's rather odd that a country like that there, a new country, might be the first to legalize cannabis before us. Rather odd. And the Green Leaf Party is not, it's not a single issue party actually, it's slightly more than that, but it's how is the legalization of cannabis. There are other things, but it's how is that. So it's not altogether futile to have a single issue parties and stances. But I know that the Legalized Cannabis Alliance also supports any party that has as part of its policy consistent policies for legalization of drugs. So the Green Party, for example, has moved quite a lot. The youngsters in the SDLP have moved quite a lot. So there's old ones that are a bit of a problem. See, the electorate, unfortunately, is encouraged to vote not only on national elections but at local ones, on party policy, party preference, or not at all. So party politicians, by the very nature of their job, are no longer concerned with advocating their own personal belief. let alone really the beliefs of people who put them there. They lose that concern. All those sort of beliefs, the sincere ones, probably the ones where they wanted to become politicians and representatives, but all those sincere beliefs become swallowed up by blind and far too excessive party loyalty. That's what happens to most of them. I've seen it happen. The party has become, like money in America has become, a sacrament, okay? An artificial, irrelevant sacrament. And that now is what all or most elected politicians strive and do their best to protect. The leadership, and we see it in the current government, explicitly advocates a cessation of debate. Can you imagine that? I mean, if they did that in Korea, we'd be the first to object, wouldn't we? They explicitly advocate potential disagreement and dissension merely to preserve party loyalty. Consequently, all power is being given to the party's leaders. That's as close to a dictatorship as you can get. Well, it's all up to the leader or a small bunch of leaders. I was taught in school that's a dictatorship. I was taught that the dictatorship is not the way left-wing thinking schoolboys from the West Valleys should vote for. That's what I was taught. The political parties of this particular country shouldn't really be able to get away with evading these real issues like the one we're discussing today. By censoring debate and discussion, and replacing it with, given that they do change their minds, we call them out lying, replacing it with insincerity, mendacity, and the occasional meaningless posture of moral outrage. I mean, I find it very sad, really, but we're all relieved that the drug czar has, after 7 years, access to all information about all drugs, come to the remarkable conclusion not to go after cannabis users as much as those of dangerous drugs. What a bloody genius. I mean, yet he refuses adamantly to recognize that prohibition is even part of the problem we face by the existence of drugs and the desire of people to deal with them. Refuses for 1 second to admit that that might be just part of the problem. Because prohibition is quite a recent social experiment, less than 100 years old, very recent. And a very, very disastrous one. Now, one way to force these politicians, to frighten them, if you like, is to form single issue parties that get some votes. Right? It's not a bid for power, but get some votes. To fight at national and local elections. At the time when all the other political parties are so nervous, right? Very, very nervous. They don't know what's going to happen. There have been odd results. That's the time to fight them. Because they are very, very anxious about holding on to or getting what they want. They're very nervous when they shape them in all sorts of ways. I remember thinking we made a mistake last time when we fielded candidates in many constituencies. Not to merely field them in constituencies where Labour had a very, very large majority. Because then, maybe 10,000 of the Labour supporters would say, well, yeah, our guy's going to get in anyway, but let's make sure some of us weren't thinking properly how we can fight them. We thought we'd fight just marginal constituencies and just act on our nervousness. Could be a trap in that boat's the swing balance. Big threat. This way, we can let the politicians and others know what you really believe. Should be done about whatever you think is the most pressing problem facing your community. Be honest. Let them. Let's have a single issue of the most pressing problem facing our community. But I think we're all agreed on one very pressing problem, and that's the illegality of cannabis. Vote for a single issue party. It's not only a vote for that particular issue. It is also a vote against the current system and state of party politics. You're also doing that as well. You're not merely endorsing that issue. You are protesting against the status quo. It offers a far better alternative than abstention. Okay. And a lot of people can defend abstention to the hilt. Why vote for anything I don't fully believe in? It's not going to matter. I'm making my protest against the whole thing by dropping out of it. We all did that in the 60s. We still have to break the law to smoke cannabis. Got to do something more. See, at the last general election, 97, several hundred thousand registered electors didn't vote because there wasn't that alternative. There wasn't that alternative. Several hundred thousand more didn't even register because of the lack of such alternative. Now, people are obviously going to differ in what they perceive as being the most needy and urgent problem to solve. See, as far as my family and I, and I think many of us here, not all of us here, are concerned, the most pressing problem has been that occasioned by the major political parties' attitudes to the use and trade of a natural herb called cannabis. Throughout my years of campaigning, I have found an overwhelming amount of agreement with our contempt and disgust for the current policies on cannabis. An overwhelming amount everywhere I go. Answer it might be a deal of it. We want to get in the way of that. See, I've got four kids, and really I don't mind breaking the law, okay? I really don't mind smoking dope anywhere at all. It doesn't bother me for one second, okay? I know where I can get it pretty much all the time. Bit of a problem earlier on today, but basically I can get it whenever I want. It's really my kids I'm thinking of, right? The next generation. I got four kids, now which I didn't have when I stood for parliament here. I got one grandson too, one grandfather. See, and I can't imagine any love more than I got for my kids and my friends. And I don't want them dying in the streets from poisons and impurities. I don't want them to do that. I don't want them handing over their money, or the money that they nicked from me, to fairly ruthless people who gladly sell them plastic as well as Moroccan. I don't want that. They can't even tell the difference. I don't want my kids to suffer multiple sclerosis or cancer and then be cruelly denied the therapeutic benefits of natural herbs. I don't want that. I don't want my kids to be callously stigmatized by a society, fined, and then imprisoned for pursuing what in this case is an ancient and traditional harmless practice.
I don't want that kind of society. I really, really don't want it. I don't want to leave this world thinking that I have done my very best to stop that being our legacy to our next generation. I really don't. See, prohibition, and this is a problem we've all faced in our campaigns and political parties and organizations, prohibition is so irrational, so immoral, so sinister, and so utterly unworkable that people who oppose it will be drawn from every conceivable walk of life, holding all manner of personal beliefs, religious beliefs, political beliefs, believe what you want. One of the poorer this year of the campaign is an extremely devout Christian. Yesterday I was with extremely Orthodox Jews. Okay? I know people who are MPs who want cannabis to be legalized. I know people who take the road, I know people who take, I know people from every conceivable environment who want to see cannabis legalized. But the problem is, because you've got such a wide net to people, any anti-prohibitionist group, unless it's very, very careful, is very vulnerable to the inner splits and dissents based, in the end, on religious, political, and moral persuasions. We had it last time. We were all arguing all the time. Great stuff. But really, the arguments weren't about whether cannabis should be legalized or not. They were, well, either left or right. You believe in God or don't you? That's what happens, right, when you have such a massive opposition to something. There will also be differences and arguments and discussions and disagreements as to which strategies are the most fruitful to pursue in order to achieve a better position. Now, I'm all for that. Let's argue the hell out of that. Let's get the best way forward. I'm all for that. But that again can cause splits. So it's vital, all right, to keep the group's aims, principles, and axioms as simple as possible. We all here share a fundamental common ground. The dismantling of the current prohibition on cannabis. It's that simple. Nothing else matters. What our politics are. Anything else. That's our common ground. And that, there's enough of that. There's enough sincerity in that for us to be able to achieve something like that. You know, something sensible. See, I know we have to discuss things. And there's plenty of scope for disagreement and debate all the time. I mean, should cannabis be available as any other harmless plant, like lettuce? Might lead you on to smoking lettuce. Should it be available for us to grow next to nothing and not prospect? Seems like a good idea to me. I mean, what can be wrong with that? I don't know. Should it be sold or given away by licensed dope dealers, druggists, pharmacists, and still policemen? Great. Doctors, greengrocers. Should there be an age limit? It's a reasonable subject for discussion. I would say no. I still remember something called parental discretion. Other people would say yes, make it the, you know, same as cigarettes or something. But we shouldn't have to argue with that now. You know. Concentrate on this common ground. Dismantle the current prohibition. Because there is an overriding urgency. Because it is destroying the communities we love. You see, if your house is on fire, best thing to do is to put it up. Don't sit down and argue what colour the wallpaper on the next one's going to be. Just put it out.
Now, I do appreciate that I'm a rather rare position as a convicted cannabis smuggler with nothing to lose. Makes it easy for me to stand up and say what I think. I can stick it in their faces, walk into police stations, skin up, and really not care at all. As far as I'm concerned, there's no meaningful deterrent after 3,000 days in prison. A few more would be quite pleasantly nostalgic. But these aren't actions I can begin to suggest others follow. I can't recommend them as policies. I don't want to be an example to follow in that at all. Because I know the effect such actions can have on social stigmatization and employment. I'm extremely lucky to have a career whose prospects are not going to be adversely affected by such actions. Now that extraordinary dinosaur, Jack Straw, can't stop people taking cannabis anyway. Not even in the prisons he administers, nor in his own family, of which he's the head. Now, a fat chance he has of stopping us not to. It's easy to buy cannabis. It's easy to grow cannabis in the garden, attic, and wardrobe. And speaking with total authority, it's easy to smuggle cannabis into this country. Now, with most arguments about drugs generally, legalization can, I accept, be tricky. We simply know, generally, that drugs are more dangerous when they're prohibited rather than legalized and controlled, generally. But we unhesitatingly accept, I think, that some drugs could be extremely harmful. But cannabis, we know, is not one of these drugs. It is safer than the drugs. Society has already decided that if there is any risk to society of people taking them, that downside is balanced by an upside, i.e. tobacco, alcohol, aspirin. Okay? We know that the government knows they are harmful, but the harm that's done by making them prohibited would be worse. I agree. But why can't that be done with cannabis, which is known to be safer than all of them? I mean, have you ever heard anyone begin to defend it? Rationally, in a way that you can understand. I know. Depended, I suppose, to some extent on the manner of ingesting. Cannabis seems to be the safest drug known to man. Defining the drug as something which one takes for purposes other than mere nourishment. The only problem with cannabis occurs as a result of these people we are fighting against, but we're slowly coming around. Politicians who callously allow youth to be alienated, poisoned, imprisoned, and ruined. The main political parties, presumably, clearly approve of gangsters distributing natural herbs with exorbitant profits. Now, I had no problem with that for a long time, but I really can't understand a government that would prefer that method of distributing natural herbs than, say, four, which certainly exist that we all know of: licensed premises, medical prescription, high streets, and the other one.
think there's only three. There's only four ways altogether. Three we know about: licensed premises, medical prescriptions, and high streets. All of which distribute drugs more dangerous than cannabis, yet the government still prefers people like me to sell. How crazy is that? It's okay for me, but I'm very, very suspicious of a government that must deliberately, somehow or other, or callously allow that to happen. The main political parties stupidly force themselves to lie and arrogantly disapprove of the recreational persons, the sincerely chosen recreational persons of millions of really good people. The main political parties have deaf ears, blind eyes, unthinking brains, and unfeeling hearts. The main political parties, to me, have become nothing less than offensive. At least 10% of the entire population of Europe take cannabis. More people take cannabis than go to church. God bless them. At least 2/3 of all British voters under 25 take cannabis. There are thousands of British doctors who have no problems prescribing cannabis, if it were allowed. There are thousands of unfortunate souls whose suffering is relieved by cannabis. There are thousands of British policemen who want to help kids, not bust them. They didn't join up to do that. Most of the ones I met didn't join the police force. They could bust people smoking a joint when they were watching television. They had far more laudable motives in mind. There are, perhaps not thousands, but hundreds of British judges who can't bear the inner ethical conflict they face when sentencing cannabis users. I've talked to some of them. There are millions of British parents who can no longer stand their kids being treated in this way. I'm one of them. There are millions of kids who wish they didn't have to lie to their parents or anyone else. A pity, I feel, that this government doesn't feel the same. What does this government suggest? What new, wonderful initiatives, innovations, and wisdom does it care to bestow? Prohibition and zero tolerance. Zero tolerance, let me think about that. Zero tolerance. Imagine trying to achieve zero tolerance. I mean, scientists for years have been trying to achieve absolute zero without any success whatsoever. Zero tolerance. What does it mean? Prohibition. Prohibition isn't control. They want to leave it uncontrolled. Prohibition is no form of control. It should never be equated with control. In fact, prohibition of cannabis is the abrogation of control of cannabis, leading to an unregulated peddling, of an adulterated substance in a situation and location totally outside the reach of the law. That's what they advocate. Any system, to me, which knowingly pursues this counterproductive, dangerous, and divisive policy has to be fundamentally immoral. Any system which continues to implement a policy that has been shown to create urban warfare and mass imprisonment
to me is also fundamentally immoral. Any system which continually implements an increasingly failing policy is to me fundamentally insane. And zero tolerance? Oh, I know what that means. Unfortunately, I'm beginning to feel the same way. Because it means quite simply, up yours. And that's the last straw, Jack.